Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Shooter's ready. Stand by.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm Frank Gao, joined by my co-host Matt Gunlock. Today, we don't have a special guest, it's just going to be the two of us. We recently shot a major match. Matt shot the Fall Brawl, three-gun match, and then I shot IPSC Nationals on the, not even USPSA side, we'll just call it the IPSC side. So we're going to recap both of these matches kind of as a end to the season. In many ways, these were culminating events for both of us for the 2023 year. We're going to start off with Matt. So the first thing I want to ask you is, you have kind of played around with different disciplines this year. You started the year training really heavy for tactical games, but now you've kind of realized that you want to get more heavily, you want to invest your time and energy into three gun. So can you just talk a little bit about that journey and how that trend came to be?
Yeah. So I guess the TTG thing started last year, roughly around end of August with Andy Brown, whenever we were prepping for the team event. And I was hyper-focused on it, had a lot of fun with it, and really just kept preparing for it. And all I did this year with the tactical games was team events. And I had fun doing it, had fun prepping for it, got in really good shape for it. I invested a lot of time training others for it as well. And that was very cathartic. It was a good experience, just, you know, continuing stuff I did in the military per se. And just carrying it over, and that's in terms of the training aspect and training others, because, you know, we had the Marine Corps marksmanship competitions, all that stuff, but we did 8 of those training events this past year, and it was very intensive, and by the end of it we were all exhausted. So I got, my shooting was there for tactical games. I felt like my shooting was pretty spot on, but whenever it came to the three gun side, with that style of shooting, I felt that my skills have atrophied. And, you know, I shot the Zoo City, you know, Battle for the South in April. Didn't have a great performance due to not having the proper dope for my rifle. And that kind of left me a little upset, but I quickly figured it out. Then the summer, I shot 3-man three gun. It's a 1-day 3-man three gun match. Had a lot of fun, but I knew I was going to be doing the double star Fall Brawl that was presented by Vortex Optics. And let me tell you, like, that was probably one of the most fun matches I've shot. Preparation for it, I probably didn't put as much preparation that I should have. I knew my skills had atrophied long range wise. I felt I was really good. I developed, had some new load development for my rifle, was spot on, had good accuracy and impacts out to 700 yards. And I was good. Pistol wise, I thought I prepped enough for pistol. And even at the local matches, I felt I did really well. I feel this time at this match, maybe it was just, I don't know what it was. I didn't flow nearly as well as I usually do with pistol. And I feel it showed. Obviously I know I talked to you about this, but for the people that are listening, I had some issues with some of my reloads that I had. a squib or what I thought was a squib, but there was nothing in the in the barrel. You know, I just heard the primer pop and saw a puff of smoke and I racked it out, you know, and you're in the moment. So you're not necessarily exactly watching, but I was like, you know what? Like in that moment, I was like, fuck it. Just dump the pistol, move on. There's no need to blow up a gun. Yeah. Or my hand.
Yeah.
And so that kind of hurt. And it kind of puts that thought in the back of your mind. Is this going to happen again? And it did happen again. It happened two more times before I said, fuck it. I'm just going to switch to a different ammo, which I brought more than enough ammo as I usually do. And this was factory ammo that I brought down. So, you know, all in all, preparations probably wasn't at the top, just because I had so much other stuff going on.
Yeah, and that's been a recurring theme. I think your year has been tremendously busy, and you've mentioned it between tactical games training, your job, training other people for the tactical games, running this podcast, and I think there hasn't been a lot of time for Matt as the competitor. But having shot, you know, the Battle for the South and then a little bit of three-man, three-gun, you know, being there, putting a lot of time and energy into Duskan, but not really, you know, having the preparation or the time to really go and compete. And I have to imagine that actually getting to shoot Fall Brawl must have been pretty great. And how was getting to shoot it with your teammates over at Double Star?
Oh, I got to say, I haven't had this much fun in a three-gun match with a squad in a long time. I honestly, this is the best squad I've ever shot with. You know, it was me, Scott Noonan, Brittany Long. It was Joe Gross, George Dorbert, you know, some people we've had on this podcast, other people that we haven't, but like there was zero drama. If somebody had a bad run, nobody like flipped out. Nobody got upset. Everybody just went out there and we all just had a great time. Like it was the best squad I've ever shot with in 10 years. And like at the end of the match, I was like, hey guys, I don't know about you, but this is how I feel. I told him how I felt. I was like, next year, if y'all are shooting Fall Brawl, like let's start a group chat together and let's make sure we're all on the same squad again together, because like it was the most fun any of us have had. Like everybody was like, everybody had the same feelings.
Yeah, that's great. And when you settle on that squad dynamic, I mean, that's why a lot of people know who they want to end up shooting with. So glad that worked out for you. And I'm happy to see you get back into that communal aspect of competition shooting. I think you haven't really had as much of that this year. No. as you usually do.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like tactical games, there's a lot of sitting around, there's a lot of hanging around with friends, but a lot of it is also just like in your own head recovering and just chilling with that one other person if you're at a team match, and you're chilling around with a bunch of other people too. But like what I've noticed in three gun a lot, you know, we cut up a lot more, we joke around a lot more, we give each other a lot shit a lot more. And part of it comes from the military aspect of it. And the other aspect is, you know, you just really know those people in and out.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. Good to hear that. You did attempt something else for the Fall Brawl. You got some equipment with the intention of live streaming the shoot offs and you put a lot of time and effort into it. You called me the week of saying like, hey, I've been messing around with this live stream equipment, getting the camera, the microphones and everything synced up, testing on YouTube. So, I mean, we'll talk about the preparation first. How did this come to be and what appeals to you? Like what calls to you about the production side of competition shooting?
So we'll start with preparation. I remember during Battle for the South, you know, Patrick Beckham, you know, walking around with his phone and doing a live stream off of Instagram. And it was great. And he did a good job with it. But, you're only getting one point of view. You're only getting one side. You're not covering like both sides, seeing both just running down, going head to head. Like you can really only capture one person. So I was like, I got this crazy harebrained idea, and I called Jason Byerly. I was like, hey, man, I got this idea. I want to run by you and tell me what you think. And I just told him, I was like, I want to do a live stream with the computer, podcast equipment. You know, I got a GoPro. I think I'm going to need another one, and just, you know, see how I can figure it out. At the time, I thought you could run two GoPros off the same computer. Jason bought me another GoPro for that intention, and it came in, and whenever I tried hooking them both up at the same time, it did not work. So then I'm like scouring the internet until like 1 o'clock in the morning, looking to see how I can make it work. And there was no workaround. So I was like, okay, well, I have another Apple computer. Let me, I can zoom in, you know, I can set up a Zoom call, you know, run that, figure out OBS. Like I learned everything I could in about a week, and you know, I got it all to work. Come down there to the match, get everything set up. I'm looking, wow, this GoPro camera hits everything wide enough to where I could see the whole thing. I only need to use one GoPro camera. I told Jason that. I was like, we only need to really use one instead of two. He's like, cool, let's do it. And so he was like, why don't you put it up there? And we put it at the apex of one of the pavilions. And it was able to pick up the entire shooting area. And, you know, Saturday night kind of started freaking me out, because like I would link the camera up to the computer, get OBS started up, which OBS is a software you use to where you could do the live stream and like production type stuff. Okay. And, you know, up until 5 minutes before, it kept just turning off, shutting the live stream down, and I'm having to start everything all over again. I'm having to restart the computer, and I'm kind of freaking out at this point. But I was able to get it up and keep everything consistent and keep the live stream going all night. Going back to some of the preparation, like I was like, okay, I want to do something different. Let me have a plan. Like there are people sponsoring this match. Let me have commercials going for the people who are sponsoring the match. That way they're, you know, we're doing the proper marketing for them on the Zoo City side. So I started calling everybody I know from those companies and just like, hey, I want to do this. What's your thoughts on it? They're like, shit, dude. Yeah, let's fucking do it. Yeah. What do you need from me? Nothing. I've already got the videos. I downloaded them off of YouTube. I just wanted to get your permission. Dude, that's fucking awesome. We really appreciate it. And it kind of comes down to when I came into 3Gun, we had 3Gun Nation on the Outdoor Channel. And I wanted to do something very similar. Granted, like Outdoor Channel, it wasn't live or anything like that. Whereas this was being put live, which adds a totally different dynamic. You get to see the emotions. You get to see people's reactions. That's what I wanted to capture. And so it was like a stem from 3Gun Nation, that something we don't have anymore, you know, and you know, just me utilizing this aspect of what we do here on the podcast to bring the viewers to the competition who can't be there.
Yeah, I jumped in on the live stream for a little bit, and you guys were just talking about the match, talking about the shoot-offs, and good format. It seems like you guys got decent viewership too. There's definitely going to be people that didn't make it to the match or wish, you know, want to go check out the match, scope it out for the next year. How did you find commentating? Because that's not necessarily something that's easy to jump into, filling a lot of blank space with not really idle chatter, but I'd say concentrated chatter is not everyone's forte.
So me and Eric Torres, I brought Eric Torres on my commentator. as one of my him and I were just commentators together, and I hit him up, you know, on Sunday night, Monday night before the match. I was like, hey dude, I'm doing this, I want you to be like my commentator with me. And he was like, he just messaged me back. He's like, dude, do I need to give you a couple more minutes to like think about this and like, you know, you know figure out somebody else to do it with? And so I called him. I was like, dude, I want you with me. Like, I like you a lot. You speak very well. Like, we're going to have a lot of fun. He's like, dude, I'm honored you would freaking want to bring me on to do this. So it's like, dude, like, you're a good person. I like you a lot. Let's have fun. So Wednesday night, before we both started traveling to the match, we just sat down and we were like, what are we going to talk about? I was like, and we were like, well, we could talk about the people that are shooting the shoot off, kind of covering down on like what they're doing, best practices for shoot off. And then covering the sponsors and covering the match and how we're doing. And then I was like, let's talk about Memorial Three Gun and the mission of Memorial Three Gun. You know, you're the president, like, this is a perfect opportunity for you to speak about Memorial Three Gun. And so that was pretty much everything we talked about. And I mean, there was lots of laughs, lots of jokes, you know, covering, you know, when Patrick Beckham shot a bullet into the bucket as he was pulling his rifle out, you know, we covered that.
Oh man.
I am going to take a clip of that and just, you know, collaborate with Patrick Beckham so he can never live that moment down.
Right. Yeah.
And that was for third place, but you are right. It's not very easy to just sit there and commentate the whole time, but with Eric, it was really easy to do, you know. And day one, we were commentating for over 3 hours, just constantly on the camera, commentating for 3 hours. We would bring people over to the camera, like Heather Miller and Jonathan Kahn and Mitch and others, just to kind of break it up some. And then Saturday night came and we started commentating. And then I was just like, hey, let's just leave it up on the live stream. I feel like we don't have a whole lot to talk about, but let's like bring it back and start commentating whenever we're near the end. So that way it gave us a chance to just walk around and talk to other people that we wanted to talk to.
Yeah, pretty cool. Do you have an idea of which match you're going to try to do this for next? And then if so, what are some things that you might do differently this time, next time?
The next match we want to do it at is Battle for the South, because I'll have the shoot off there. I've already talked to Chad Francis to do the same thing at Generation 3 Gun next year as well. That's a match I do plan on attending. That's a match I want to do it at because it highlights the junior shooters and their capabilities and their maturity and growth into the sport, because we all talk about it. Like, we have to do a better job building the junior shooters and bringing more junior shooters into the sport, because they are the future of the sport. So I really want to highlight that. But some things I would do differently. I don't know if I want to use GoPros again. I want to buy another camera. My wife is thrilled about that. And so I want to have two DSLRs out there. I want to have battery packs. And that way I don't have as much problems with connectivity. It's a lot more stable shooting platform. And I think I'd get better quality out of those cameras. And I want to try and get multiple angles next time. So I'm going to buy some stuff that's going to allow me to switch between cameras and have a couple cameras going at the same time. And then maybe run dual microphones instead of the one podcast mic. Just really focus next time on the audio quality. and volume. So I think getting other microphones where each commentator can just wear something on their lapel, like a lapel pin mic, I think that will allow it to work a lot better.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see it in action and see you being successful with it. And it's obviously obvious that you're passionate about bringing visibility to the sport, interviewing people, talking to people. So it's pretty cool. Kind of a natural progression from what we do on a weekly basis, just talking about things.
But I think that kind of covers everything.
Yeah, I was about to ask you if there's anything else you want to talk about in terms of the match.
Yeah, I honestly think that covers it. I just wanted to thank Jason, Jew City. Thank you to Double Star and Vortex for sponsoring the match. And I'm saying these names not just because, you know, I want to say them, and not because Double Star sponsors me or Zoo City sponsors me. I'm saying them because, like, you hear us talk about these names all the time. And I often say, hey, buy from those people that support you. And I truly mean that. Like, we need to do a better job as a shooting community supporting those who support the shooting sports.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So, in that case, I'll get on with you. So you went down to Ipswich Nats with some of the shooting team guys on the pistol team. How did you prepare for Ipswich Nats?
I would say that Ipswich Nats is, I mean, it's the last major of the year. So everything I've done up until this point in 2023, it was in preparation for this event, knowing that it was one of two national events that would count as a qualifier to potentially go to the Handgun World Shoot, which is in Johannesburg, South Africa in 2025. So the intent was always to come out and like shoot a competitive match. In terms of preparation on a year-long level, shooting in proximity of 25,000 rounds of 38 Super Comp was the preparation, going to many major matches, practicing, trying to get in one practice a week over at in Quantico when the guys had the range, and a lot of dry fire. Like, you know, people subscribe to the gospel of dry fire. It will take care of most things, like a lot of things. So you can imprint some very good, like, subconscious and quick skills and gun handling and target transitions, just doing that. In the immediate preparation phase, wasn't great because I shot the MCMC. I shot with the M18 and M27, and then I went to the RPGI Nods match and I shot under night vision with an AR and with my 2011, just passive aiming. And then I match directed PCSL the weekend before. So, like, none of that. I would have preferred to shoot purely open gun USPSA, but it just wasn't in the cards because I know we talked about taking the month off for Quantico match. I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to go to all these other matches. I wanted to, you know, still participate. And then, you know, just with the way things are in November, December, the Veterans Day 96 was the week before Ipswich Nationals. And the guys didn't have the range, so I drove to Shadowhawk just to get practice. Like, I drove the hour and a half, I shot for about an hour, and then I drove back. So that was really it for preparation.
Do you feel like doing all those things prior to Ipswich Nats that it hindered your performance a bit, or do you think it helped? I mean, we all can say, well, as long as you're shooting a gun, you're going to be fine. But we also know, like, if you're switching between guns, multiple different guns before you go shoot a big match, it can hinder your abilities.
No, there was that thought, but also going into a match, you cannot continue to imprint that kind of thought. Mm-hmm. If there's any part of your brain that's like, this is going to screw me over, then you might as well not shoot those other matches. But at the very end of it, the week of, I start dry firing, or I did that practice session dry fired in earnest after PCSL, and that was enough to get me on the straight and narrow to get ready. And when I started shooting on day one, I really didn't feel like I'd lost a step at all. And I've been doing it the entire season, right? Like going into Dragon's Cup, Sam and I shot championships and RPGI. So this isn't new for me. What I will say though, is like I tweaked my back like maybe a month ago. So all those matches leading up to this were just like survival matches. I was just managing back pain and just like trying to get through them and trying to stay competitive. And it was more a test of mental focus than actual like shooting ability for those other matches.
Did you feel exhausted at all? Like you were a bit tired before going into Ipsic Nats? Because I brought up and I told you because I was supposed to shoot the RPGI day and night match with you, and I hit you up 2 days beforehand. I was like, dude, I'm exhausted. I haven't even shot the two other matches now, and I'm tired. I can't go. Like and granted that week I just hadn't been sleeping well at all, like getting an average of 3 hours of sleep a night. So I knew in my mind, maybe it comes down to being old or older. I didn't feel that it would have helped me going, you know, doing three matches back to back the way I was gonna do.
Yeah. It was tough getting through those matches, but ultimately what it came down to, if you had talked to me like during PCSL weekends where like back wasn't feeling great and I was just, you know, I was sore from putting the match on the ground and just running a match takes a lot out of you. If you'd asked me on that Sunday whether I felt ready for Ipsic, I'd just been like, no. But that's why like you give yourself time to prepare. So like at this point, I know what I need to do to get myself mentally and physically ready. It's, you know, you live fire if you can, you dry fire a lot. If you can't live fire, I was doing at least 30 minutes a day leading up to Ipsic Nats before we got in the car and started driving on Wednesday. And, you know, we're going to talk about the actual drive down. It's 12 hours, but that's a lot of time to get your mind right. And the reality is, like, I'd had a lot of doubts the week before. I looked at how many GMs were going to show up. I questioned whether or not I had the practice, like, I had the foundational skills to perform, whether or not the back was going to hold up. I questioned a lot of things, but ultimately, I had a conversation with myself where it's like, you can't dwell on these things. It's out of your control how many GMs are going to show up. It's out of your control whether or not it's going to rain on you while you're in Florida. You just have to focus on the things, calling your shots, dry firing, like do every little thing you can to get ready.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I completely agree with that. And going into, you had a 12-hour drive down there. How do you maximize that time in the car to first shots to get yourself ready? Because let's be real, 12-hour drive is not, it's exhausting in its own sense. And then you have a day to prepare and then you go into shooting.
Yeah. It was a test in terms of just being present, right? Because at the end of the day, it's the most productive thing you can do is just focus on the task at hand. So the week was, I mean, it was fucking busy. Saturday and Sunday was PCSL. Monday, I had to do a bunch of reading for my classes. And then Tuesday, I was in class. Wednesday, I was in class. After I got out of DC, I literally drove down to Quantico to pick up Josh, like Cardi B. And then we drove as far as we could in that first night. We drove all the way to Savannah. And then the next day, I also signed myself up to go visit my uncle-in-law down in Jacksonville, who was that was an interesting visit. So there was a lot of things going on. It was just like, just take it one thing at a time, but realize that there's other, like, I had to set aside time for dry fire. I think I told you, cause you asked me if I could record that week. And I was just like, honestly, not really. It's just another thing on top of the mountain. And there's a lot of other things going on that I got to focus on.
I gotta mention something about the drive. So, and this comes down to my drive down there to South Carolina. So we all go through mental checklists before we leave, after we leave, all that kind of stuff. And the night before I left, I had packed everything up minus like my guns. I left those in the garage locked up there. But everything else was in the truck. The morning I leave, I throw my guns in the back of the truck. I got a little bit of a later start because, well, I didn't set my alarm, and I intentionally didn't set my alarm because I was like, I have time. I want to actually make sure I get a full night's rest. And I just want to wake up naturally, and I'll leave whenever I get up. So did that, felt rested, threw my guns in the truck, started leaving, started driving. I got 20 minutes down the road, and about 18 minutes in, I'm thinking, did I throw my long range ammo in the back of my truck? Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking this. And so I just pull over on the side of the road, get out of the truck, go look in the back seat and everything. I'm just like, fuck, I left my long range ammo at home. And the funny thing is, I loaded it up all up the night before, or I loaded all that ammo, finished loading all that ammo the night before. And so I just turn around, drive home, I'm talking to a friend, Noah, and I'm like, dude, look, listen to what I just forgot. And he's just like, wow. And like, he's giving me shit and everything. And he's driving to meet a friend because before he leaves down to South Carolina. And then he's like, he's going through the same thing. So same mental process. He's like, fuck, I forgot my clothes at home.
Oh, man.
So I just, you know, I thought that was funny. Like, you know, and those are some of the thoughts and some of the mental checklists. And like, if, you know, you got to be present in the moment and thinking about that stuff. I'm glad I just got 20 minutes down the road and forgot the ammo rather than 2 hours down the road, because, you know, long range ammo, 75 grain ammo, that's not something you could just grab from somebody else, because that's ammo that's been chronoed. It's been tested. You know where your hits are going to be. It's not like I can just grab somebody 77 grain ammo and just, you know, hope and pray that it's going to hit where I want. You know, I had plenty of 55 grain ammo, but that's not satisfactory to use whenever you're shooting out targets out to 650 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would have been difficult to overcome. Yes, I packed the entire like afternoon before. And then the morning of, I did final checks, and one of the ammo cans that I had loaded was actually, it was from RPGI, so it was full of AR mags and other mags, and it wasn't full of 38 Super Comp, and like 38, like the magazines I typically use in my open gun. So that was a good catch on my part. Yeah, the longer trips definitely require a lot more preparation and a lot more mental focus, not only during the match, but prior to the match.
I think I'm going to actually, instead of just doing a mental checklist, I'm going to write out a checklist and just check everything off, just because, like, in three gun, you have so much gear.
Yeah.
Like, you can't forget something.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a challenge. But luckily, I didn't forget anything this time around.
Yeah, after I went home and grabbed the ammo, I was good the rest of the trip. Going back to IPSC, because you've been shooting USPSA pretty much the entire year. That's been your focus. You haven't, other than the Texas TTG, 1-3 gun down at Zoo City, and the Duskin match, the rest of your year has been nothing but USPSA. So what were the real big differences between USPSA and the IPSC rule sets?
Yeah, so IPSC is a lot more structured. The ROs came from all different countries, like Canada, Jamaica, some came from Norway, like all over the world. And if you show up to the line, you're not ready, they will literally send you to the back of the line. Like, it's not personal, and they can come off as a little authoritarian and strict, but ultimately that's the environment I would rather shoot in than be all chummy, buddy. Like, I don't pay for a local match atmosphere. I don't necessarily want that. there were definitely things that were tripping up USPSA shooters, primarily the make ready. You cannot take a sight picture. I accidentally did it because I, you know, when you're shooting with a dot, you draw your gun, you point it at the ground, you check the brightness, and then you make ready, and then you holster it. And I did that once, and I was like, I wonder what this looks like on a target. And I went up, looked at a target, and instantly I was like, I'm sorry, dude. It was a verbal warning. It didn't really affect me. But it was just that one small mental lapse. The stages are a lot more straightforward. There's not a whole lot of like hidden targets and like traps and kind of gotcha moments like there are in USPSA. They are very straightforward, and you have 3 minutes to walk through and formulate a stage plan, which I feel like actually is like Cardi B said this in his post, just his post assessment. But it's a lot better for competitive parity. Everyone's on the same footing. You don't get an advantage of showing up to the range like 2 days early like you do in USPSA. And it really doesn't give you an advantage in a lot of ways. Like everyone gets the same amount of time. The targets are easy to find, and it's almost purely your ability to execute within that short time frame.
I think that's a difference between you and I, in the sense that I like the bigger, longer stages that has a lot more technical shooting, like the Jason Byerly. Granted, I've been shooting those matches for a long time, and I don't like, I'm not saying I don't like stages that are just stand and deliver or, you know, right there in front of you. But I like the dynamics of coming up with a different plan. Like, and I'll say at the Fall Brawl, I did not have the ability to walk any of the stages beforehand. And that was my own doing. Friday, I got there at 5:30. It was already dark pretty much. And so I didn't walk stages. Saturday, after we got done shooting those stages, I went straight to where the shoot off area was, started getting everything set up for that. And then Saturday, it was the same thing. So like none of the days did I walk stages the day before to kind of start planning. It was just show up and shoot, which that brought a different dynamic that I kind of enjoyed. It was like, kind of like what you were saying, you can't show up 2 days before the match and, you know, get a competitive advantage of just looking at everything beforehand. This was me just saying, okay, I have to have some type of on-demand performance, get out there and shoot. And, yeah, and with some of the stages that Jason puts out there, that's a very tough task to accomplish.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, so IPSC does a 3-2-1 format. They'll do three like shorter courses, one medium, and then one long. So mm-hmm. There were some really, like, there were some complicated field courses in there, and you had to really maximize. Like what I did was, you know, if the first part of the stage is just 4 to 8 targets and it's really easy to visualize, then I'll walk it once and then that's it. I can see it from behind the shooting area. I don't need to continue walking that and waiting on people. I'll just cut to the center of the stage. And they threw a lot of different things like platforms, walls that you had to basically force strong hand shooting, activators, like pretty difficult swingers that are over the top, steel that was hiding behind barriers. I mean, you have the round count, you go out and you hunt the targets and then you formulate your plan. So, I mean, if the stages had been uninspired, then I think a lot of us would have been disappointed, but they weren't. Like, they were also good stages, just not the kind of like USPSA chicanery that you sometimes find.
Mm-hmm. Overall, how were you? How'd you fall out, or what was your overall performance? Were you happy with how you performed?
I was. I ended up 28th out of 143, which, nice. You know, a top 30 performance at Nationals. That's
noteworthy.
It is. It, probably where I should have shaken out at Open Nationals had my gun not just like slowly falling apart over the entire match. And, for the conditions, like it rained so much on Thursday and Friday, and some of those stages were just mud pits. So I kind of came into it really tentative on my footing. And then after a while, I was like, I can't even think about this. Like the footing has to be subconscious. You have to move aggressively. You can't be ginger footed and just like worry about getting wet. You're going to get wet. You're going to get mud on your legs. Who cares? Right. Like shoot aggressively. I shot two mics on the first stage. I had a rebound from that. I had to get back into the flow from that. And I was able to do so. That's something I've learned over this year, just like not letting the mistakes carry over. And overall, like, you know, there's some things I want back. Like there's some mental lapses because I was shooting 18 stages. It's difficult when you're shooting 8 stages on one day and 10 stages on the other to stay mentally consistent, especially, you know, when the mud, the puddles, and then just dealing with other competitors and the ROs. But overall, it was a good performance. It more or less atoned for Open Nationals. And I know I could have done better, but with all things considered, I'm happy with the way things went down there.
No, that's exciting to hear. I'm glad it shook out for you. You probably had much better performance than what I did. I just had a lack of preparation, we'll call it that. Which, you know, we already mentioned next year, all I'm going to be doing is shooting three gun. I'm not going to lose focus by shooting any other disciplines, in a major match format. My whole sole focus next year is going to be just three gun. It's kind of where I found my passion and where I just want to continue going. Why change something that I've been doing for 10 years, you know, just to see what else I can do. With that being said, what are your plans for next year? I know you have some pretty big moves, like work-wise. You're finishing school, and then you're going to the Naval Academy. What is that going to do with what you're capable of shooting next year?
Going into IPSC Nationals, the entire reason I signed up was to be competitive for a world shoot slot. The trajectory of the season didn't necessarily pan out in the best way. And I think at this point, it's probably best for this next academic semester, my future at the Naval Academy, and just like, you know, home life and everything. I'm not going to go to the IPSC Nationals in April. Maybe on a last minute, something will happen. I don't plan on going to the Open Nationals in Alabama. I plan to stay regional, shoot the major matches in this area. And like, I think that the closer goal is to make Grandmaster and win a level two. You know, I've gotten close this year. I know I can do that. And I think these last 2 years made a lot of progress. I kind of figured myself out as a competitor, as a traveler in a lot of ways. But I also don't think it's fair to my wife and my actual career to continue to press as hard. I'm grateful for the time and the opportunities that I've had. But I think if I can become a grandmaster and continue to terrorize local matches, my regional majors, I think I'll be just fine with that. And it's also like, I'm a match director now, you know. I look at it as an active community service. I look at it as a way of giving back. And realistically, like a lot of match directors are not pushing like pedal to the metal as competitors. It's just not really compatible lifestyles. So given the choice between those things, personal glory and like providing things for other people, I'm choosing the latter.
With that being said, you're going to be going to Annapolis next summer. Are you still going to maintain being match director at QSC, or are you gonna, you know, see about somebody taking over for you?
Yeah, I plan to still do it. I just, you know, the guys on the team have helped tremendously, both in terms of setup and stage design and just the general support system. I do enjoy it. If it becomes untenable, then I'm gonna start looking for a replacement. It's just like there isn't one immediately apparent right now. And also, you know, I can find ways around it. And if I need to crash at someone's place over that weekend, or whatnot, or just, you know, the guys on the team have stepped up tremendously. They're building stages the day before and like throughout the week and just leaving them up. That's helping a lot, especially on the setup. You've stepped in, you like during this last PCSL, you helped out a lot. So as long as I can get that level of support, I really don't mind doing it.
Yeah, just let me know what you need. And you know, I'd like to stretch my match director brain a bit and or stage design brain a bit.
Yeah.
I think it's important to kind of maintain those skills, because if you don't maintain them, you lose them. You know, one thing I will say, like my motto for this last match I shot was, I can't wait to start shooting open. I'm seeing the light. Everybody on my squad, except I think three of us, were open shooters, every single one. So it really goes to show, and like a lot of other people have switched to modified division, but it's like that's kind of where I want to be now. Like, one thing I've learned is if you don't have the time to really put in the practice, like for tactical optics, open's the way to go, just because it gives you, it's more gear intensive, but it's also, but it also gives you some of those comforts to where you're not supporting yourself and you're letting other things assist in supporting the guns, but it's also a much faster game than what TAC Ops is.
It is. Yes, everyone, the people bagging on open don't necessarily. So there's two levels to it. I think some people do become reliant on the equipment and the guns to mm-hmm. shoot well. But if you're really working at it, then you are absolutely going to push the threshold of what you are capable of with a shotgun, a pistol, and a rifle. And like those guys are fucking untouchable. Like,
yeah,
can't even get within the same orbit.
John Whitehell, Joel Turner. I mean, those guys are just, I mean, they're brilliant. It's pretty amazing to watch them shoot. I can't wait to, I've already been practicing with the Dissident Arm shotgun that you sold me. I'm waiting on a dot to come in today so I can mount it to my pistol. And yeah, I just want to go play. I want to have fun. I'm tired of quad loading. One last thing that I wanted to mention is something that's cool for us as a podcast is for the Zoo City Fall Brawl, the Double Star Fall Brawl, Jason Byerly and his girlfriend, you know, decided to put our logo on the match shirt. I thought that was huge. I never thought our logo would be on a match shirt before. And I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty neat. But yeah, that makes sense. You did put in a lot of personal time to get that live stream ready. And that's something that match director doesn't have to necessarily concern himself with. So it's added value. And I think it's going to be interesting to see you continue to do that and where you take it.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm not excited to spend the money. Yeah. Well, I should say my wife isn't excited to see me spend that money, but I'm going to do all my research beforehand before I just go crazy and like buy stuff to try it. And it falls on its face. I have time. Yeah. I have a lot of time.
Yeah, for sure.
But, other than that, is there anything else you wanted to kind of talk about?
Not really. That was kind of it for the season. Going to be transitioning to some other platforms and just feel things out for a little bit. But honestly, I don't really feel like I need an off season. I'm going to still continue to practice the same way I have.
I'm kind of feeling the same a bit. Now that I'm switching to open, it's much of the same. I'm planning, to go down to Zoo City in January to shoot one of their locals there. One of my Double Star team members, Brittany, and I are talking about going down there, meeting up and shooting together. She said she's going to be switching to open division 2. So we'll be figuring stuff out together. And they have a good solid crew down there to where it's like it'll be able to just watch and kind of see how they do things. Because from what everybody told me is like TAC Ops, you have to think a certain way. And open, there's also another way of thinking. It's not just going out there and just shooting targets. You have to be strategic as well. So I'm excited to just start, you know, pushing the envelope on that.
Yeah. Open's a lot of fun. Like all gas, no brakes.
Yep. But other than that, everyone, we hope you have enjoyed listening about the matches we just shot. We hope you have had a happy Thanksgiving and hope you travel back safely wherever you're coming from or going to. And yeah, just let us know what you think. Let us, if there's anything you want us to cover, please let us know. And yeah, let us know how we're doing. Other than that, have a good one.